Letters to Daniel, Volume 10, Letter 854, The Word of God Against the House of Marxism, and The Prayer of Jesus for the Protection of the Bill of Rights. Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King, 2020, in the fourth month, on the 12th day of the fourth month.
Dear Yeshua, Thursday, the 9th of April 2020, 7 a.m. When I was in the 7th grade, as part of my social studies class assignment, I produced a report on Karl Marx and communism. In the course of my research for the essay, I went to the school library to find what was available on the subject. I found an encyclopedia and read about Karl Marx and his belief system known as communism. At about this same time, or perhaps a few years earlier, I read two books which my mother had in our home. One was called Tortured for His Faith. The other was titled Tortured for Christ. Both books detailed the lives of two different Christian church pastors who lived in nations behind what was then called the Iron Curtain. They were both imprisoned and tortured at the hands of communist governments for their refusals to deny Christ Jesus as Lord and King. The book Tortured for Christ is about Richard Wurmbrand, a Christian pastor within what was then called the Soviet Union, who would not deny his faith in Jesus Christ. See also Letter 77, Volume 2. The communist government authorized his subsequent imprisonment and torture. It wasn't until a ransom was paid to the communists that he was released from prison. Then he emigrated to what was then called the free world, in order to begin a new life. Here is one quote from Tortured for Christ which is indicative of the heart of communism. The cruelty of atheism is hard to believe. When a man has no faith in the reward of the good or the punishment of evil, there is no reason to be human. There is no restraint from the depths of evil that is in man. The communist torturers often said, there is no God, no hereafter, no punishment for evil. We can do what we wish. I heard one torturer say, I thank God, in whom I don't believe, that I have lived to this hour when I can express all the evil in my heart. he expressed it in unbelievable brutality and torture inflicted on prisoners. When I was finished with the social studies report on Marx, I came to the conclusion that all things communist were evil, and should be destroyed. This was also during the time of the Vietnam War. It was my understanding then, being 13 years old, that the war in Vietnam by the United States was against communism, and that the US was dedicated to winning the war in order to stop the spread of communism. After the United States appeared to have lost the war in Vietnam on the 30th of April 1975 with the collapse of the South Vietnam capital of Saigon, the US continued to lead other freedom-loving nations in the Cold War against communist expansion by the Soviet Union, and to some degree, communist China. Mainland China was, and still is, governed by a communist dictatorship, having been led into Marxism by Chairman Mao Zedong. At the time, both China and the Soviet Union, also called the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, or USSR, were isolationists in their national ideology, with strict limitations on foreign travel. Two phrases were coined which described this isolation, with the USSR being behind the Iron Curtain, and Communist China behind the Bamboo Curtain. The free world was often distinguished by the press, news media as being the West, with the Iron and Bamboo Curtain countries called the East. Communist governments have a history of massive amounts of bloodshed in establishing themselves, and communism only continues to exist through deception, control, manipulation, threats of violence, imprisonment, and death toward its subjects. A short list of communist despots include the aforementioned Chairman Mao, China, along with Joseph Stalin, USSR, Pol Pot, Cambodia, Kim Jong-un, North Korea, and Fidel Castro, Cuba. I also testify to some degree about the evils of communism in the letter 301, volume 514. But there was another despot who is typically forgotten about, Jim Jones, who led a commune of followers to their deaths by suicide, Jonestown. He employed many of the same authoritarian tactics of Marxism in his short, independent rule. I learned a great number of details about Jim Jones and Jonestown through the book A Thousand Lives, by Julia Shears. See Letter 68, Volume 2. Here is a quote from Shears' book. "You won't find the word cult in this book, unless indirectly citing the source that uses the word. My aim here is to help readers understand the reasons that people were drawn to Jim Jones and his church, and how so many of them ended up dying in a mass murder-suicide on November 18, 1978. The word cult only discourages intellectual curiosity and empathy. As one survivor told me, nobody joins a cult. To date, the Jonestown canon has veered between sensational media accounts and narrow academic studies. In this book, I endeavor to tell the Jonestown story on a grander, more human scale." Julia Shears, Berkeley, California, March 24, 2011. Shears, Julia. A Thousand Lives: The Untold Story of Hope, Deception, and Survival at Jonestown. Free Press. Kindle Edition. Here is an excerpt from the opening of the Communist Manifesto, by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, circa 1848. Manifesto of the Communist Party. A specter is haunting Europe. The specter of communism. All the powers of old Europe have entered into a holy alliance to exorcise this specter. Pope and Tsar, Metternich and Geisel, French radicals and German police spies. Where is the party in opposition that has not been decried as communistic by its opponents in power? Where is the opposition that has not hurled back the branding reproach of communism against the more advanced opposition parties, as well as against its reactionary adversaries? Two things result from this fact. 1. Communism is already acknowledged by all European powers to be itself a power. 2. It is high time that communists should openly, in the face of the whole world, publish their views, their aims, their tendencies, and meet this nursery tale of the specter of communism with a manifesto of the party itself. To this end, communists of various nationalities have assembled in London and sketched the following manifesto, to be published in the English, French, German, Italian, Flemish and Danish languages. Here is a copy of the words of the Declaration of Independence. July 4, 1776. The unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth, the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles, and organizing its powers in such form, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly all experience hath shown, that mankind are more disposed to suffer, while evils are sufferable, than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government, and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. Here is the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Here is the transcript of the Emancipation Proclamation. January 1, 1863. A transcription. By the President of the United States of America. A proclamation. Whereas, on the 22nd day of September, in the year of our Lord 1862, a proclamation was issued by the President of the United States, containing, among other things, the following, to wit, that on the first day of January, in the year of our Lord 1863, all persons held as slaves within any state or designated part of a state, the people whereof shall then be in rebellion against the United States, shall be thenceforward, and forever free, and the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authority thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of such persons, and will do no act or acts to repress such persons, or any of them, in any efforts they may make for their actual freedom. That the executive will, on the first day of January aforesaid, by proclamation, designate the states and parts of states, if any, in which the people thereof, respectively, shall then be in rebellion against the United States, and the fact that any state, or the people thereof, shall on that day be, in good faith, represented in the Congress of the United States by members chosen thereto at elections wherein a majority of the qualified voters of such state shall have participated, shall, in the absence of strong countervailing testimony, be deemed conclusive evidence that such state, and the people thereof, are not in rebellion against the United States. Now, therefore I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, by virtue of the power in me vested as Commander-in-Chief, of the Army and Navy of the United States in time of actual armed rebellion against the authority and government of the United States, and as a fit and necessary war measure for suppressing said rebellion, do, on this first day of January, in the year of our Lord 1863, and in accordance with my purpose so to do publicly proclaimed for the full period of 100 days, from the day first above mentioned, order and designate as the states and parts of states wherein the people thereof respectively, are this day in rebellion against the United States, the following, to wit, Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, except the parishes of St. Bernard, Black Mines, Jefferson, St. John, St. Charles, St. James Ascension, Assumption, Terrebonne, Lathrop, St. Mary, St. Martin, and Orleans, including the city of New Orleans, Mississippi, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, except the 48 counties designated as West Virginia, and also the counties of Berkeley, Accomack, Northampton, Elizabeth City, York, Princess Anne, and Norfolk, including the cities of Norfolk and Portsmouth, and which accepted parts, are for the present, left precisely as if this proclamation were not issued. And by virtue of the power, and for the purpose aforesaid, I do order and declare that all persons held as slaves within said designated states, and parts of states, are, and henceforward shall be free, and that the executive government of the United States, including the military and naval authorities thereof, will recognize and maintain the freedom of said persons. And I hereby enjoin upon the people so declared to be free to abstain from all violence, unless in necessary self-defense, and I recommend to them that, in all cases when allowed, they labor faithfully for reasonable wages. And I further declare and make known, that such persons of suitable condition, will be received into the armed service of the United States to garrison forts, positions, stations, and other places, and to man vessels of all sorts in said service. And upon this act, sincerely believed to be an act of justice, warranted by the Constitution, upon military necessity, I invoke the considerate judgment of mankind, and the gracious favor of Almighty God. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the United States to be affixed. Done at the city of Washington, this first day of January, in the year of our Lord 1863, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 87th. By the President, Abraham Lincoln. William H. Seward, Secretary of State. Here is the Gettysburg Address in its entirety. 67 years ago our fathers brought forth on this continent, a new nation, conceived in liberty, and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation, or any nation so conceived and so dedicated, can long endure. We are met on a great battlefield of that war. We have come to dedicate a portion of that field, as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that that nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But, in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow, this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here, have consecrated it, far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note, no long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. Abraham Lincoln, November 19, 1863. The United States Constitution Bill of Rights state the following, Congress of the United States begun and held at the city of New York, on Wednesday the 4th of March, 1789. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces, or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger, nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people. According to the Lord Holy Spirit, the word of God against communism is the United States of America, as revealed in the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States of America, which are the founding documents of the United States of America, and being accompanied by the most important proclamations of President Abraham Lincoln, known as the Gettysburg Address and the Emancipation Proclamation. The prayer of Jesus for the protection of the Bill of Rights are we the people of the United States who bear his yoke, which is both easy and light. Here therefore is the word of God against communism, and the prayer of Jesus for the protection of the Bill of Rights. The word and the prayer are one and the same. Dear Father in heaven, please, I pray, consider my petition to destroy all the works of communism from the face of the earth, and my prayer to protect the Bill of Rights, for it is written that the Book of Psalms, chapter 28, verses 1 through 9. To you I will cry, O Lord my rock, do not be silent to me, lest, if you are silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit. Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. Do not take me away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, who speak peace to their neighbors, but evil is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds, and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them according to the work of their hands. Render to them what they deserve. Because they do not regard the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he has heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Save your people, and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also, and bear them up forever. The Book of Psalms, Chapter 75, Verses 1 through 10. We give thanks to you, O God, we give thanks. For your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I choose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I set up its pillars firmly. Selah. I said to the boastful, do not deal boastfully, and to the wicked, do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high, do not speak with a stiff neck. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is the judge. He puts down one, and exalts another. For in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red, it is fully mixed, and he pours it out. Surely its dregs shall all the wicked of the earth drain and drink down. But I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked I will also cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. The Book of Matthew, Chapter 11, Verses 25 through 30. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Book of 1 John, Chapter 3, Verses 1 through 23. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods, and sees his brother in need, and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another, as he gave us commandment. Amen. Blessings. R.C. Theophilus.